Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm beginning my second week of teaching that I've entitled The Word Became Flesh. I have this teaching in CD and also two different DVD formats. One came from a Gospel Truth seminar and the other one was programs that I taught on television, and the DVDs were made directly from that television teaching. And this teaching is just powerful. I spent last week building up to what I want to share with you this week. And we're going to be talking about the virgin birth. Of course, this is the Christmas week, and even in secular venues, in malls or in stores, you'll hear some Christmas music and talking about joy to the world, the Lord has come, and just singing about the birth of Jesus. And this is on people's minds. It's been brought to their attention. And yet, if you are like me, most people, the virgin birth, it's become nearly a cliche, and we don't think about this. I mean, beyond just the obvious that it's impossible for a virgin to have a child, there are some truths in this that are just dramatic, and I mean reveal the way that we receive from God. I'm going to be bringing out some of these parallels this week, but this is powerful, and I just pray that you'll dig a little deeper and just look a little bit stronger or closer at these things that we take for granted during this Christmas time, because in these truths are some of the most powerful, profound things in the Bible about how Jesus came to this earth. Last week, I was trying to answer two questions. One of them was, why did it take 4,000 years for God to bring His Son to the earth and redeem mankind? Those people that lived during the 4,000-year interval between the fall of man and the coming of Jesus, they had God intervene in their affairs to a degree, but the New Covenant is so infinitely better that even the New Covenant itself says that the Old Covenant had no glory compared to this glory that is now revealed. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Why did God wait 4,000 years? And basically what I've been saying, it's because of His integrity that He waited. And people at first may not understand that, but it's because God gave control of this earth to people. And if He would have come down and just intervened in our affairs without our cooperation, it would have been contrary to what He spoke to Adam and Eve. He said, you have dominion, you rule this earth, and He didn't put any restrictions, no limitations on it. He never intended for us to turn the control of this world over to the devil, but because of His integrity, He would not come down here and just stop it and bring in the new covenant. It took 4,000 years because He had to speak through people. And He spoke the first Adam into existence by words. There was no opposition, and so it just happened instantly. But in the second case, where the second Adam, that's the terminology that was applied to Jesus in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when He created the second Adam, He had to speak through people. And the reason it took 4,000 years is because no one person could say everything that needed to be said. Boy, that's amazing. So let me show this to you from Scripture. In Luke chapter 1, in verse 26, it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, the sixth month of what? This was the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. And she also, this was a miraculous birth. It wasn't a virgin birth, but Elizabeth and her husband Zacharias were both beyond childbearing age. They were old, and it says stricken in years. And yet they had been praying for a child, and Zacharias was one of the priests that went into the temple, into the holy place, and offered the sacrifices and the service in the holy place. And while he was in there, the angel Gabriel appeared unto him and said that he would have a child. And he says, how's this going to happen? My wife is old. And because of unbelief, the angel Gabriel struck him dumb and said, you won't be able to talk until the day that this child is born. So he went home after his service in the temple was over, and his wife Elizabeth conceived, and this was the sixth month of her pregnancy. And that's what it's talking about, that during that sixth month, this same angel, Gabriel, the one who had struck Zacharias dumb for disbelieving what he had told him, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. You know, this is amazing. There's only twice in the Bible that this word that was translated here, Hail, thou that art highly favored. It was only used this one time, and also in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, where it says, We have been made accepted in the Beloved. It was translated accepted in Ephesians 1, 6, and it was translated highly favored right here. And you know, the same way that Mary was highly favored and blessed of God, every born-again person is now blessed and highly favored. Mary is not to be exalted above any one of us. Matter of fact, there was a woman that came to Jesus during His physical ministry, and she was so overcome with Jesus and who He was that she began to cry out loud in front of the crowd and say, Blessed is the womb that bare you and the breast that you've sucked. And she began to start praising the mother of Jesus. And Jesus turned around and says, Yea, rather blessed are those that hear the word of God and do it. Jesus Himself said that if you believe the word of God and do it, you are more blessed than the Virgin Mary. I'm not trying to take away from her being blessed. Mary was an awesome lady, and she trusted God. And this was a major miracle, but it is wrong the way that she has been exalted and promoted as if she is the mother of God in some sense, that she is a goddess herself. And anyway, I'm not going to get any further into it than that, but that is wrong. That she is blessed and favored. That's what Gabriel told her here. But Jesus Himself said, You are more blessed than His mother, Mary, if you hear the word of God and do it. So in verse 29, it says, And when she saw Him, she was troubled at His saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. You know, this is amazing to me. And this, again, I believe is a reflection of religion. Here's an angel. And I don't know exactly, it doesn't describe how he looked, but I can guarantee you this angel, I bet you, was impressive. And he was definitely a messenger of God. And look at what he's saying. He says, Hail, you that are highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. What's in that to be afraid of? But see, religion has conditioned us that God is an angry God, and that God hates us because of our sin, and that God is just one little breath away from wiping us out. And when we find ourselves in the presence of God, this sin consciousness just automatically causes fear to come up on the inside of us. And this is exactly what happened to Mary. This is exactly what happens to so many people today. And yet the Bible says perfect love casts out fear. If we really were just walking in how much God loves us, I believe that there's always should be a reverence, a godly reverence, but this terror and dread and fear shouldn't be there. Mary wasn't a perfect person. Now, she was a godly lady, and I'll talk some more about how her and Joseph, this was a major miracle. They were strong people of faith. They believed God. But she wasn't perfect. Here she was when she found herself in the presence of God, an angel of God. Fear came on her, and she cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. You know, if he would have come up and said, You sorry thing, you are a stink in the nostril of God, she probably would have said, Oh, this is God. That's the way the religion has taught us to be. But man, somebody comes and says, You are highly favored, you're blessed, the Lord's with you. And we think, boy, what kind of a weirdo is this? And then in verse 30, it says, And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over all the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Man, that is a tremendous promise. And for the Jews of those days, they were more educated in the Word of God than people today are. They had, matter of fact, for the boys, they had to memorize the first five books of the Bible. They memorized every word of it. This was common among them. When the angel was saying these things, Mary was educated. She knew exactly what this was saying, that the Messiah was going to come through her, that he would be the Christ. He would be the one who takes over the kingdom of David. And she knew exactly what this was talking about. And look at this in verse 34. It says, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" You know, in some ways, there's a similarity here. When the same angel, Gabriel, appeared unto Zacharias, Zacharias says, "How can this happen? How can this happen since I'm old and my wife is old?" He asked a question and he was struck dumb. Here's Mary. She asked a question and instead the angel just responded and explained things to her. You know, I don't know how to prove this to you, but I firmly believe that Zacharias was asking this question. It really wasn't a question. It was a statement of unbelief. How can this be? You know, I'm old. He was expressing unbelief. He was rejecting this. But when Mary asked the question, she was just asking for clarification. She was a virgin. How was she going to have a child? And I believe that she might have even been approaching the subject. She's engaged to Joseph. They hadn't consummated the engagement, but she was engaged, and maybe she was wondering, is this going to happen after our wedding, after I have physical relationship? She was asking a question, and you know, praise God that she did ask this question. Otherwise, she might have thought that maybe she was supposed to go immediately and get the marriage over with and have this child, and it could have polluted and corrupted the whole thing that God wanted to do. You know, if Abraham would have asked a question when God appeared unto him and said, "You're going to have a child," and if Abraham would have said, "Is it going to be through Sarah or is it going to be through Hagar, Sarah's handmaid?" If he would have asked a question, not for unbelief, but for clarification, that could have saved this whole Arab-Israeli conflict that we have today. It could have solved a lot of problems. But see, he didn't ask a question. There's nothing wrong with questions if the purpose for a question isn't disbelief or criticism, but you're just asking for clarification. You know, I started this whole teaching that I've been doing based on two questions. Why did it take 4,000 years from the time that Adam and Eve sinned until Jesus came? Why did God have to become a man? I'm not asking those questions in the sense that, you know, "God, I just don't believe you exist," or "I question you because..." And I'm not asking it in unbelief or criticism. I'm asking it for explanation. And if you ask a question with a sincere heart, God doesn't mind questions. It's not like He's offended when you ask a question. You know, sometimes when you're dealing with people and if you question them, they get offended because they're insecure. And for you to challenge them, it really upsets them. God is not insecure. God does not mind answering your questions if you aren't doing it out of rebellion and out of unbelief. So Mary asked this question, says, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And praise God that she asked that question, because here's Gabriel's answer in verse 35, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the High shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible." Man, that's a powerful verse, that verse 37. With God, nothing shall be impossible. You know, I've actually read this in one translation. I can't remember which translation right now, but it said, "No word of God is without power of fulfillment." In other words, basically what he's saying is, he says, if you can believe, it can come to pass. And here's Mary's response in verse 38. Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word," and the angel departed from her. You know, this is amazing. And again, we just skip over this so quickly. I guess part of the reason is because it's hard to understand. It's hard to conceive. Nobody else in human history has ever been through what Mary went through. But it is amazing to me that this young girl, some people believe that she could have been as young as 17 years old, or I've heard some younger, but I'd say the majority estimate that she was around 17 years old, a 17-year-old girl who knew the facts of life and knew that you didn't have children by being a virgin. She had enough knowledge to know this, and yet here's an angel telling her differently. And you know, I suspect that she knew the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, where a virgin will conceive and bring forth a son. I'm sure that she knew that this had been prophesied, so there was some foundation for her to base her faith on. But still, this is a tremendous testimony to her faith in the fact that she just embraced it and humbled herself. And let me say some things right here that you're going to have to pay attention to this, but if you can get this, this will change your life. You know what I believe really happened? And again, I'm basing this on, I taught a lot of this stuff last week. God had to speak the second Adam into existence the way He did the first one. It took 4,000 years because God was no longer directly in control. It wasn't just up to Him speaking. He had to speak through people, so He had prophesied and given hundreds of prophecies throughout the Old Testament. They were written down, and when the fullness of times was come, Galatians 4:4 talks about the fullness of time, then God sent the angel. The angel presented this in a sense. Now follow this. God had to get Mary's willing participation. And I hope you don't take offense at this. I don't mean this incorrectly. I'm not trying to be crude or anything. But, you know, if a man has a relationship with a woman without her consent, it's considered rape. God wanted to have His Son come into the world using Mary as the vehicle. And God, in a sense, was sending Gabriel to say what He wanted to do and make a proposal. And Mary, when she humbled herself and said, "So be it unto me," what she did, she accepted God's proposal. And then the power of the Holy Spirit took all of these words that had been spoken for 4,000 years, all of these prophecies, everything that had to be spoken about Jesus. And those words that were living, the Bible says, Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is quick. That means living, alive, and powerful. They are living words. These aren't just words on a page. This is living. He took these living words that had been spoken, some of them 1,000 years before, 2,000 years before, took these words, and then the Holy Spirit took that word, and according to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, that you are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the Word of God that lives and abides forever. He took the seed of God's Word and impregnated Mary. That's how this virgin birth took place. It wasn't just a miracle. It was a miracle, but I'm saying sometimes people just think about the miracle of the virgin birth and don't think about it. It was absolutely natural. It was a natural birth in every respect, except a man didn't put the seed in her womb. God's Word was the seed. Gabriel brought it. When she humbled herself and received the words that He was saying, then the Holy Spirit took those words and literally placed them in the Virgin Mary, and she conceived Jesus. And the reason this was so important that it had to come through a virgin, because if it would have just been the human union of a man and a woman, well, the Bible says that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And if they would have received, if this would have only been a human child, then it would have had a corrupted life flowing in it. And yet, God had to become a man. I'm going to explain this more later in this week about why Jesus had to be a man. I've already hinted at it last week, and if you followed, you probably can figure this out. But He had to have a physical body, and it had to come, but it couldn't have the sin nature in it. And so it wasn't just a normal or natural physical body. It was a physical body that came through the woman, but the seed came from God Himself. It was the Word of God. And this goes right back to John chapter 1, verse 14, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Man, that is so descriptive of what happened. Jesus was the Word. Now, Jesus existed with God in the beginning. There wasn't a beginning to Jesus. Jesus was in the beginning. And it says, we've already read that in John chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, other places. It says Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, and other places that Jesus was the creator. He's the one that created everything. God created through Jesus. So Jesus existed. He's never not existed. He's God, and He's always existed. He was there at creation, and He did all of these things. But the physical body that Jesus entered into was created, and it was created by words, prophecies that were spoken over 4,000 years period of time. And then this angel Gabriel came and gave a proposition, a proposal to Mary, and explained what God wanted to do. She humbled herself and said, "So be it unto me according to thy word." She received the word. She received the seed, and all of these promises that had been made and spoken under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, prophetic utterances for 4,000 years, the Holy Spirit took these words and planted them in Mary, and the Word became flesh. Boy, to me, that is awesome. That answers a lot of questions. I know some of you are probably watching this program thinking, well, I'm not following what you said. Well, to me, this is powerful. If you've missed this, you ought to get these materials and go back over it, because this is just answered a lot of questions. And it says a lot of things about the integrity of God. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus said that, John 3:16. God loved this world. God loved people. The Lord wanted to redeem us. Why did He wait 4,000 years? Because of His integrity. Because He had set up the system that man had absolute control. And because of His own integrity, He was patient. He waited. He watched horrendous things happen. He watched the world in the throes of sin and terrible things going on. And He didn't intervene because He's a God of integrity. He won't violate His own word. And that's the reason it took 4,000 years. This also answers sometimes why some of you are thinking, well, why doesn't God intervene in my situation? Because He's a God of integrity. Because He said, you resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And there are many of you that have really bad problems, and you got the devil giving you a hard time, but you're begging and pleading with God to get the devil off your back. The reason He's not doing it is because He told you to do it. He gave you the power and the authority. And even though He loves you and doesn't want to see you suffer, He's not going to do it for you. He's bound by His own integrity. You have to resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You have to speak. You have to say unto the mountain, don't talk to God about your mountain, but Mark 11:23 says, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed, and not doubt in their heart. You've got to take your authority. You've got to start speaking to things. And there are some of you wondering about why hasn't God done something? It's because He's a God of integrity. He gave you so much power and authority that in a sense that limits what He will do. He's not going to do it for you. You certainly aren't going to do it without Him. It has to be a combination of the two. I've got a lot more to share about this, and I'll continue it throughout this week on our programs. I would like to encourage you that we have materials on this entitled The Word Became Flesh, a CD set, and then two different types of teaching on this in DVD. Our announcer is going to make those available to you. And so listen and then call or write today to receive these materials.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, The Word Became Flesh, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request item T1057C for the CD or T3202D for the DVD. Or you can get the original five-part DVD as seen on TV for a gift of any amount. Request item T1057D when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The third teaching in the Word Became Flesh series is available on CD for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will send this third CD free of charge when you write or call.
Let me once again just advertise this product that we have entitled The Word Became Flesh. I taught this at one of our Gospel Truth seminars in Fort Worth, Texas, and my wife, who's heard me minister a lot, said that this is the favorite thing that I've ever taught to her. That she just loved this. I mean, every night when I came back, she said, "Oh, I like that. That's the best you've ever done." And then the next night was the best I'd ever done, and she loved it. This really is a powerful teaching. And what this does, it just connects a lot of the dots. There's a lot of people that have a little truth here and a little truth there, but they don't always fit them together and get the whole picture. I think that this will help connect the dots for you. So please listen as our announcer gives you some information about how you can receive these materials.
We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book, titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith, is available in hardback for a gift of any amount. Request book T228. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. That address is also on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth seminar December 31st through January 2nd. He'll also be in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth seminar February 4th through the 6th.
I'd like to give you a special invitation to join me on December the 31st. That's, of course, New Year's Eve through January the 2nd. We're going to be back at the Biltmore Resort in Phoenix, Arizona. I tell you, if at all possible, I'd encourage you to come and be with us. Also, Charlie and Jill LeBlanc will be there with a live band. It's going to be a great time. Last year, we had over 1,000 people. We're expecting more this year. Plus, you get a special rate at the Biltmore, a reduced price of $139 per room, and they normally start around $300 up to $1,000. And that price is good for 3 days before or 3 days after. So come join us for our Phoenix Gospel Truth, December the 31st through January the 2nd.
For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
It really is impossible for a virgin to have a child. And Mary didn't have a man plant the seed, but the laws of God still function. It wasn't that a woman who had never been impregnated had a child. That's not what happened. She was impregnated, but it just wasn't by a man. It was God's Word. My point is that there are laws that are established.